Good morning, church. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I encourage you to open them up to John chapter 20, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in both 20 and 21 this morning. I hope that your Easter morning, your resurrection morning to this time has been just filled with lots of celebration. For those who joined one of the sunrise services around the valley, I hope that that time outside just singing praises and listening to a message encouraged you. I pray that being here this morning and encourages you. I want to say something that I said at the park a few hours ago. Church, today you have a free pass. Right? Today is Easter, so typically stepping into conversations that involve faith might be taboo in certain parts, but not today. Today we have a free pass. Right? Even Lowe's is closed today. Right? So before, when it's sort of you sort of hesitate to say something about faith at lunch or at dinner or something, today you have a free pass. So pray that prayer that Paul prayed, that when we open our mouths, that God will give us words to proclaim him boldly. Right? It's free pass Sunday. So talk about Jesus a little bit today. This is like the fourth year that we've done some variety, some version of the family Easter experience. But there's still parts of it, and it seems to be a different part every year that just sort of grabs me. Right? And like Thursday evening, if you were here for the reenactment of the Last Supper, simply the apostles coming forward and embracing Jesus before they came up to either have their feet washed or to surround the table just grabbed me, right? And to see Judas, like, I don't know if I want to hug you. Right? And so I pray that something over the last 3 days has grabbed your attention. That's what we talked about last week on Palm Sunday, how God speaks boldly sometimes and just captures our attention. And we went to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 18 to be exact, and we used the example of Elijah and how Elijah went toe-to-toe with 850 prophets of Baal or Asherah, and they got into this sacrifice challenge. You guys build an altar, put an animal on it, call out to your God. I'll do the same thing. And we saw Elijah just like sort of sit back for a while. Like, I don't know if he had a big gulp that he was drinking from as he's watching these guys like dance all over the place. And hey, come on, Asherah, come on, Baal, come on, light the fire. And nothing happened. And then about noon, he's like, hey, you got to scream louder. Maybe he just needs to be woken up, right? Scream louder. And then finally, Elijah said, all right, my God's turn. Calls out to God. And not only the animal, not only the wood, but the rocks and all the water that had been poured around, gone. And he had our attention. When God speaks loudly, when he shows up big, he captures our attention. You know what happened to Elijah after that encounter? He was a wanted man. And he had Ahab and Jezebel breathing down his neck. Jezebel especially wanted to just remove him from the picture. So Elijah is worried, and he's like, oh, I can't believe I'm the only one who's still serving God. And he's calling out to God. He's like, God, will you show yourself to me? And you know what God did? He said, okay, I'll reveal myself to you. So he takes Elijah, and he takes him up into the mountains, and it wasn't in the earthquake that God spoke. It wasn't in the violent wind that God spoke. It wasn't in the rushing fire that God spoke. It was in the gentle whisper. 1 Kings chapter 19 and 12. After the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And that is where Elijah encountered God. And when God whispers, he captures our heart. Happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. It wasn't this grand spectacle with hundreds and thousands of people around. No, it was a pretty private encounter where Paul met Jesus. Even Jesus himself, when he needed time alone, he would escape to the wilderness, escape to the countryside to spend time with his Father. On Easter morning, God did some amazing things. He showed off on Easter morning. But after that display of his sovereign power, he whispered. If you have your Bible, right, let's look a little bit in John chapter 20. After the resurrection scene, and we have the women gone, and we saw a reenactment of that this morning. After everybody had left, there was just Mary at the tomb. In John chapter 20 and verse 11, right, John, the beloved, wrote this. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stood and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go and tell my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." And Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." After the light show, after the ground-shaking show on resurrection morning, God whispered, "Mary, I'm here. You're not alone." If you keep reading down through 20, right, the next encounter he has is with the disciples. And pay attention to what's going on here. It was the first day of the week. They were in a house with the doors locked. And Jesus shows up with them. "Peace be with you." A little bit further, he meets Thomas, who needed a little bit. He needed to see. He needed to see with his own eyes that Jesus had risen. And here we have Jesus again saying, "Peace be with you." And then after we see that the apostles, some of the apostles went fishing and they came in, and there's Jesus on the seashore, right, waiting for them. And he says, "Bring me some fish and I'll fix you some breakfast." And we see this amazing, beautiful, intimate encounter with Peter and with Jesus, where Jesus says three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Mary, the disciples, Thomas, and Peter, "You are not alone." The Hebrews author would later write about God, "I will never leave you or forsake you. Even a crucifixion cannot separate me from me, from you. I will be with you always. Even in your darkest times, I am here." Have you ever thought about what it would be like if Jesus hadn't whispered in the garden? Can you imagine Mary, like, looking into the tomb and Jesus sneaking it behind? "Mary!" Right? Or all the apostles, a few verses later, right? Yeah, look at, like, searching for security in each other's company, and they've barred the windows and they've locked the doors and they're all huddled together, and then Jesus walking through a wall or however he got in there, gets in there, sneaks up behind them, right? "Peter!" Can you imagine that encounter with Thomas, where Thomas had to see, and if Jesus had just laid into Thomas, "How dare you doubt me?" Or a little bit later on the beach, where there's Peter, a broken Peter, right? And I can't imagine that Jesus and Peter had outside of that instant right after the denial, that they had seen each other, because if I'd have been Peter, every time I'd been in Jesus' presence after that, my head would have been like, I can't make eye contact with him because of what I had done. Can you imagine if Jesus just would have laid into me? "You spent 3.5 years with me, and that's what you do?" But he didn't. Mary, to the apostles, "Peace be with you." To Thomas, "Peace." To Peter, "Do you love me?" But God whispered. When have you heard God whisper your name, whisper to you? Has it been just after this day after day, week after week, month after month of trial after trial after trial? Has it been as you've been confined to a bed as you recover from a surgery or an illness? Has it been in your loneliness? Has it been in your triumphs? Has it been in your defeats? Has he whispered to you? Has he said your name in a crowd? Or do you have to go to the wilderness to hear it? I want to ask you something. When's the last time that you walked up to somebody that you did not know, have never met, and whispered in their ear? I'm not telling you to try that. But if you're a husband and wife duo and like the husband thinks he wants to try that, wife, please get out your phone and video it so the rest of us can see what happens. You don't walk up to a perfect stranger, right, in a crowded room and say, "Hey, Eli." No. You're going to be like the guards there a little bit ago, like dead. Right? You don't whisper to a stranger. You whisper to someone that you have a relationship with. No, we only whisper to those we're close to, not strangers, and God whispers to those he loves, not to be distant, but to draw you close. Maybe it was Mary, Rabboni, and then a deep embrace. His gentle voice invites you into an intimate conversation where the distractions of the world fade away and your heart becomes still. In his whispers, you find clarity, you find truth, and you find peace. Yelling, showing off, doing something big may grab your attention, but whispering captures your soul, your heart. How close do you need to be to hear a whisper? Now, for some of you, including a certain woman who is volunteering in King's Crossing this morning, you can hear a pin drop, right, in Meigs County, Ohio. But for most of us, right, you have to lean in a little bit. You have to get pretty close to hear a whisper. And maybe that's just what God wants. He wants you to get close to him, close enough to hear him speak, to hear him gently tell you where to go and what to do and who you are and what to say. It requires intentionality. If Mary hadn't brought spices to the tomb to be close to Jesus, she'd have never heard her name. If Thomas hadn't asked his questions and sort of required Jesus to be in his presence, he never would have heard, "Peace be with you." If disciples hadn't been huddled together for security, if Peter hadn't slowed down to share a meal with Jesus, they never would have heard his whisper. You can't hear a whisper among a crowd unless you focus on it, to draw and draw towards it and lean in. And that is what God wants for all of us, to focus on him, to draw closer to him. Maybe you haven't heard from God in a while. Maybe you haven't heard from God ever. Maybe it was just a minute ago. Maybe you're still waiting, but rest assured, he is there, and he wants to speak to you. And when we quiet our soul, you can hear him speak in a still, small voice. Elijah heard it. Mary, Thomas, Peter, Tony, Cooper, Angie. At Calvary, God captured our attention. The dead rising is a pretty cool thing. You're going to notice that. The veil being torn, the sky is turning dark. At the resurrection, God captured our attention. The lightning flashed, the thunder rolled, the earth shook, the stone rolled away, the soldiers became as dead. But in the graveyard, God captured our heart with a Mary. On a beach, he captured a heart. Peter, in the quiet of your study, in the restlessness of a sleepless night, in the uncertain seasons of your life, in the lingering doubt about who he is, in the lingering doubt about who you are, in the seeking, in the searching, in the celebration, in the sadness, in the melancholy, in the depression, in the hurt, in the freedom, in the wondering, and in the wandering, Jesus desires to whisper to you. Not from across the room, but maybe from across the table, from one end of the love seat to the other, over a cup of coffee, over a good book, over the good book, on time in your knees with him. Jesus is whispering your name. Jesus has finished the work, church. Evil has been defeated. That's why we are here this morning. Evil has been defeated. Sin has been beaten down. Death is no longer the enemy for a believer. He came to do what we couldn't do, live a perfect life. He came to do, or he came to receive what we should have received, a horrendous, painful death. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. It was okay that it was borrowed because he didn't need it for very long anyway. Because 3 days later, he walked out, bursting out, shaking the earth, walking out triumphantly. And he wants you. He wants me. He wants all of us. And he wants all of us. He wants our heart. He has our attention. All you need to do is look around at this amazing creation, and you can see God just the reasons that God deserves your attention. But he also wants your heart. He's wowed us. He's spoken boldly. He showed off. He's captured our attention. And now he calls to you in a whisper, Patsy.